Hello, this is Jefferson Angel from the Walking Papers, and you're listening to the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Lou Dini, and today we've got a great guy on the phone with us, Jefferson Angel from the band Walking Papers, and this is going to be cool. They've got a new record coming out very soon. Might even be out by the time this drops here, but it's a really great, just the kind of rock and roll I know you guys love, just straight up. Great riffs, great hard rock. But real quick, guys, if you love great rock, you love great hard rock, feel free to join me in my inner circle. It's the place where you can come and hang out with me and get all a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I do with bands and check out some of my own music. That's LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle, LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle, and we can hang out and you get more great info and behind-the-scenes stuff on the bands like Walking Papers and Greta Von Fleet and a lot of the other bands that we're working with here. So hope you guys check that out. So anyway, so I've got Jefferson Angel on the line here. The Seattle's Walking Papers featuring Jefferson Angel among Benjamin, with also Benjamin Anderson, Duff McKagan, that name might ring a few bells for you guys, Barrett Martin. They're going to release their second record. It's coming out real soon. It's on Loud and Proud Records. It's going to drop on January 19th. And just get into it. Jefferson, welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, brother. So let's take a little step back, man, and get a little bit of history on you. Like, how did you get bit by the music bug, like, in the very beginning? What got you into this whole thing?
I guess the very beginning is, I was a whippersnapper, and I had a single mom with two wild-eyed, rotten kids, and I guess she probably didn't have the best string of boyfriends options, because we were probably, because of, you know, they knew that we were part of the package, but she did date this one guy that was a Elvis impersonator for a minute, and he actually brought over the single of, he gave a 45 of Heartbreak Hotel that was kind of, it was probably, at that time, it was 20 years old or something, but, you know, but to us, it was super exciting to have our own record that we could put on the turntable, and, you know, if we messed it up or whatever, it could do whatever, you know, we weren't in trouble for it. But anyway, okay. It was a, you know, really exciting, that record, you know, basically sums the blues up right there, and it also has a great story with the, you know, the Lonely Street, and later on, I found out that it's actually, the song was inspired by a guy that actually hung himself in a hotel because he was so bummed out about his girlfriend or something, and that's what inspired the song originally, and so it's right up my alley of dark fodder for songwriting.
That was the beginning, and now, wait a second, I'm getting the picture of the scene from Forrest Gump where Elvis comes to their bed and breakfast. That wasn't you, right? He wasn't teaching you how to
shake
your
head. I don't know, maybe it was.
But so you heard this Elvis impersonator, he brings this record in, you're hooked at that point. So what, you know, like in high school stuff, you're like in bands and stuff like that?
Well, even in elementary school, I was already kind of like, you know, you're on that, sitting on the fence between lying and pretending.
Yeah.
You know, and I was always, before I even knew how to play an instrument, I was trying to rally up my friends to pretend we were in a band and all that kind of stuff. And then that grew into being obsessed with it, to where finally I got a guitar for Christmas, probably in the fifth grade. And then I finally got a chance to start to kind of figure it out. And then by the time I was in, you know, seventh grade, I kind of, you know, I didn't have any lessons or anything, but me and a couple friends figured it out, and we were already starting to play cover tunes. And we watched these guys across the street, older guys, had a band, and they would let us come and watch their practices and stuff. And that's where we kind of learned our first few chords. Then by the time I was 14, started playing shows. We saw that local bands were like handing out flyers, and we went and saw, the first show I ever saw was Alice in Chains and Mother Love Bone. And so I saw that show, and then I knew, you know, right then you had to stop playing the cover tunes, start writing your own songs. And, you know, within a couple years, by 16, I was opening up for shows for those guys. And, you know, and then that's, so I got a really good, couldn't have been born in a better place to be a kid
Seattle. So you were coming of age during that sort of Seattle explosion.
Yeah, I mean, I was born a little too, you know, story of my life, day late, dollar short, you know, but I was a little bit too, you know, those bands were already on their way and getting major contracts, and I was only, you know, 14, 15, you know what I mean? So I did get to open up for some of them, but I wasn't, you know, you think you are at that time, you're ready, but now I listen back to the demos and the songs, you know, we were just figuring it out, and, you know, we did a lot of imitating those bands and didn't really find our own sound. Although we did have a pretty good run, no one seemed to like the singer. Everybody was like, your singer's not good enough. The band's good enough. And then, which is kind of what led me to singing, is I could never just, I was just a guitar player, and I could never really find a singer. You know, I couldn't find my Mick Jagger or my Robert Plant. So I was like, I guess I got to, you know, got to figure out how to do that myself.
So you really kind of started out primarily as a guitar player then?
Yeah, I never had that, hey, look at me.
Yeah, a shredder.
You know what I mean? Well, no, I mean, I never had that, like, wanting to run out in the front and shove my crotch in the front row's face. You know what I mean? I'd rather stand in the back and let some other guy be the asshole. You know, so, you know, eventually I had to take that job, which I think, you know, as a singer, I'm kind of, like, just trying to do what I would want from a singer rather than, like, hey, I want to be a singer. Yeah. You know, I always wanted to be the Jimmy Page or the Keith Richards or Johnny Thunders. I never wanted to be, you know, the fancy fair-haired guy in the front.
When does missionary position get started? The band, not the sexual.
I had this band called Poststardom Depression, and we were on Interscope, and we toured with Queens of Stone Age and Dee Dee Ramone and a bunch of stuff like that. That was in my 20s. And then that band was riddled with a lot of guys that like to live like they were rock stars before they were rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, I put together another band to kind of just keep myself busy while everybody was in jail or going to rehab and all that kind of stuff. And then, that became the missionary position. It was just kind of a joke side project, but some of those guys never really recovered. And so, it kind of just started taking over and kind of became my main thing.
Is that still an active project for you? Because I was checking out your website.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not sure what we're going to do. We have another record that was finished, but unfortunately, the drummer passed last year. And kind of in a unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah.
And so he kind of, we're having a, although we're really happy with the music, and we're just kind of having a hard time revisiting that.
Yeah, right, that's rough. Yeah, I had a drummer pass as well in a band, and we just couldn't get it back together. You know, when you're like brothers, you know, it just sucks. You know, it's just not the same. Let's talk about Walking Papers. How did Walking Papers get together?
Well, I knew Duff had kind of earmarked me at one point to try to do the Velvet Revolver thing.
Oh.
And so I recorded some songs with them, but I skipped their TV show and all that because I thought it was kind of goofy. okay. Like I said, I'm not trying to like, hey, here's my chance to get on TV. I'm more like, how can I get out of this, you know? And so, I mean, I like to play music and write music and talk about it, but I don't like to, you know, want to be a TV star.
Right.
That, they didn't even have that when I started getting interested in music, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so I did the thing with them, but I had all these songs, you know, I recorded like 6 songs with them, but I held on to them. I never played them for anybody. And when they got Scott Weiland, I think that I earned their respect by not going and showing the world, you know, letting them in on the secret. And I never said anything about it until actually I started playing with Duff. And then when he started bringing it up in the press. And so then I felt like, okay, I guess we're comfortable to talk about this now. So anyways, I met him back then, and we just kind of always stayed friends, even though they went with the other guy. Rightfully so, because I think he sold 40 million and I sold like 40. And so, I mean, it was a smart situation. Clive Davis put that together. And so it was a smart move for them. And I, you know, wished them all luck. And then I just stayed friends with Duff. And then later on, you know, I'd see him around in Seattle and stuff. And he would come and watch the missionary position kind of had a lot of fans. You know, I mean, we'd have like Ben Shepherd from Soundgarden and then Barrett from, you know, Mad Season and Mike McCready from Pearl Jam and Duff, those would be like, that's like our audience, you know?
Yeah.
so we'd have all these kind of rock star guys coming and watching us, and I think that they knew that, you know, we were, our hearts were in the right place. And so when I made friends with them, and so when Barrett said, hey, I want to make a rock record, will you, you know, you want to do something? And I was like, sure. And so we wrote the record really quick, but the whole idea was just like, hey, let's bring in all these friends to come and play on it. And we really didn't have any expectations for it, but it was instantly, you know, like Seattle just totally embraced it. And then, you know, we sold like 7,000 copies of the record in a world where no one sells records, like, in, you know, just locally before on a printing them up ourselves. And then, so then we got picked up by a label, and then, you know, toured Europe 11 times and Australia and America a few times. It was like, you know, and then just got a really good run out of it. And that's when I just invited Duff in to like play on a couple tracks as a friend. And as things started growing, he was like, hey, I'll jump in on that too. And we can, you know, and he introduced us to some of his connections and opened the world up for us a little bit.
Oh yeah, I bet. So the record comes out and you guys tour now. It's because it seems like it's been a little while. What was that? What, 2014, 2013?
Yeah, and of course, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but this Guns N' Roses thing got together.
Those bastards.
So yeah, we made this record a little while ago. I mean, we were touring with like Aerosmith and Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction, and we did a lot of fun stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, of course, the Guns N' Roses cash machine started printing money again. So he, you know, obviously got busy there. And then, so, you know, he kind of gave us our blessing to do whatever we wanted with the record. But in the meantime, I went and made a record with this, I just threw together a solo band called Static Land, again, to kind of fill the time between other people's stuff. And so I did that record and toured Europe a couple times and America a couple times and did a leg of a tour with Alice in Chains in the States. And I had that going for a year, but then when I did it, I didn't really realize I was kind of like obligated. I couldn't put out any other music for a year due to that contract. So you know, the record kind of got held up first by Duff's stuff and then held up by my stuff. And then now finally it's able to come out. And, you know, we couldn't be, I mean, talk about drawing the bow string way back to let the arrow fly. So we're finally happy to let this thing get in the air.
Okay. So the record's going to drop in a week or so here. And before we go any further, we're going to just take a minute. We're going to jump in and to check out Death on the Lips, the new Walking Papers. Guys, check it out. You'll want to crank it up. Death on the Lips, Walking Papers on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Stand there in the jumper cables on a heart that wouldn't stop. She's a splash of Coca-Cola in a glass, so make her smart.
Okay, so tell us, what's the difference between the two records? Where, what kind of progression have you gone from one record to the next?
Well, the first record was pretty much just songs that I had laying around, and we threw it together really quickly. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have we didn't know what our band was at the time. It was just a bunch of songs, and we had never played a show. We recorded the record before we ever even did a show. Mm-hmm. And then the new record is kind of like, you know, after playing, you know, a couple hundred shows and touring really hard for 2 years, we actually found the way that we clicked together, and, yeah, you know, the gears ground down to a nice smooth roar, and we, you know, find out what we were good at. And then, so the second record was more of a band effort, you know, than the first record. You know, and the first record was basically it, my songs, and then me and Barrett recorded it together, and then Duff and Ben kind of added some tracks to that, you know, but the new record, we all kind of weighed in on what we were liking, and, you know, and I think it, you know, took it to a higher level, you know, and definitely expanded on it a bit.
Where's your heart and soul, Jefferson? Is it in like straight up rock and roll? Are you like a rocker at heart?
You know, I'm totally a rocker at heart, but mostly I think, above all things, I'm kind of my heart and soul is into soul. You know, I like all genres of music, and it all comes from, you know, if it has soul to it, that's what I like. And I don't care if that's R&B, old country, even I find some electronic music has soul.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rock and roll, you know, spirit, I think, you know, the attitude of that, I think life is all attitude. You know,
yeah,
life is all based on your attitude, and I think rock and roll has that spirit. You know, sometimes it's a negative attitude, and sometimes, but it, you know, it definitely is embraced in attitude. But a lot of times people, at this point, I kind of feel like people kind of robbed, you know, they're like, party like a rock star, you know,
yeah,
you know, or like you even say, rock and roll, you know, on some people, you know, they're selling it's a slogan to put on a t-shirt, but
yeah,
where the real spirit of what rock and roll is, I mean, I think that's what's in my veins. And I'm not sounding negative. It's nice that people are, you know, recognizing that, but I think a lot of people that would consider themselves rock and roll don't even know what rock and roll is.
It's how we stick it to the man, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of that, or it's kind of like, you know, do your own thing and don't let someone else, you know, tell you. If you think it's cool, it is. Don't let anybody tell you different, you know.
What's the next 6 to 12 months look like for you and Walking Papers?
We got some shows coming up. I mean, a few shows are on the books, and then I'm starting to see some offers coming in. Maybe our major fan base is in Europe, and so we'll probably put something together to go over there. But, we're doing this. Duff's got to do his day job, and then the rest of us are just – we're probably going to do it a few different ways. Sometimes we might go as a three-piece. Other times we might take a horn section.
Yeah.
You know, we have enough material, and we're all pretty – we like to mix it up and try different things and, you know, kind of have some surprises for an audience when they show up. So we're kind of taking it as it comes, but it looks like it's coming.
To promote the Pledge Music and all that so that people can find you on the internet and keep up with what you have going on.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Pledge Music thing, that's what my... You caught me trying to ship out all this stuff. They had they signed me up to do all sorts of things, like write out handwritten lyrics and then making artwork. And so it's like my job today. I'm like running around going to UPS and going to the box store. It's pretty funny, like the rock and roll lifestyle sometimes isn't what people would imagine, like when you're, it's like, hey, I want to sign an autograph. And they're like, I'm careful what you wish for, because all of a sudden you're signing 400 records, 400 pieces of vinyl. And, it's not, they leave it to you. They just drop it off. UPS drops it off at your door, and you have to cut all these things open, sign them all, put them back in the box, get them back in your truck, take them to UPS, and pack, you know what I mean? You're like, wow, this ain't exactly what I thought I was getting to here, But at the same time, of course, I'm grateful that people want to hear it, and I want them to hear it. But it is kind of funny that that's the last 3 days. All I've been doing is signing CDs and records, and they're at my whole house. They're all over there. And then you find the best way in the world to get through signing all these things. And then, but by the time you have a good infrastructure set up, you're done.
So people should go to what, the Pledge Music. .com. Where do you want people to go to kind of check out what you have going on?
They go to the Walking Papers Facebook. They'll find some videos and stuff that'll take them to the Pledge Music, and they got T-shirts and packages and all sorts of different things that they're doing there. And I think it's great. To me, I'm a total fan still myself. I still have my favorite artists, and I buy their box sets, and I pre-order the record and all that. And I get a thrill out of all the extra bonus stuff, for the people that I'm a true fan of. And I think that I kind of like that some of this Pledge Music stuff is kind of pushing artists. That's this good side. The bad side of, like, people aren't buying as many records. Well, musicians didn't make that much money off of records anyways. The record companies did. And but coming up with these packages, it's kind of forcing artists to have to, like, find different, ways of engaging the fans. And I think it's a pretty cool thing, like, to be able to dig a little deeper, because I'm a super fan. I don't listen to music passively. If I listen to a record, I got to find out what gauge strings the guy was playing, what cologne he wore, what guitar that he drove to the studio, how long many takes did the, and people are these, some of that stuff's surprising. You think it's just some instant magical thing, and then you're like, Beatles song that you heard that you thought was so spontaneous and exciting was actually, that was take 122, you're like the Rolling Stones, you're like, that Charlie Watts killed it on the drums. And then you're like, on that particular song, the producer played the drums. It wasn't even Charlie Watts,
Or finding out that Paul McCartney played instead of Ringo Starr.
And I love all that stuff. And I'm not, it's a pretty cool wormhole to get lost in,
So what do you, if you don't mind, what are you grooving to right now, man? What are you rocking out to?
Funny enough, I don't really watch a lot of movies or TV, but I went and saw the Blade Runner movie.
Yeah.
And I thought the soundtrack was so amazing that now I'm just like, I'm all Hans Zimmer all the time. I'm just like,
wow.
I've never seen Batman Returns, but I know the soundtrack by heart,
cool.
And like Sherlock Holmes, haven't seen it, but I think the soundtrack's amazing, you know? And so I'm really into him. And then, God, what was that? Somebody was just asking me the other day. So I'm kind of obsessed with that. But I also get obsessed with, like, certain songs here and there. I like The Kills a lot. I mean, they're not really new, but I've been bugging on their new record. I like, who would be another one? Fantagram, I like. I saw them the other day, which was weird. You know, saw them with Arcade Fire there. Mm. You know, I took my daughter's a big Arcade Fire fan, so I got her, like, all the VIP special treatment for that concert. And then, who else did we go inside? You know, I don't know. So I'm kind of digging into that. I always got some steady jazz. I like me. I was doing I had a Louis Armstrong Christmas.
Nice.
You know, I love, I think the new Jeff Beck record is amazing with Loud Hailer. I like that record. I don't know. I mean, I would have to dig into my phone and see what.
No, just wanted to get a quick overview. I tell you what, we're going to wrap it up. Can you hang on 1 minute while I wrap up the podcast? I need to do just a little business with you when we're done. You got a minute?
Sure.
Okay. I know you're busy signing autographs. Just 1 minute.
Well, I'm actually driving to the store. So
all right, brother. Hang on 1 second. Hey, guys, you've been listening to Jefferson Angel of Walking Papers. And the best way to check out what they have going on is to go to Facebook, Walking Papers Music, and check out everything they've going on. You can jump off to everything from there. Really excited about the new album. Love the songwriting. It's just dynamite stuff. And it's really great to hear these guys working as a really cohesive unit after a few years of kind of on and off and really becoming a great road-worn machine that can put out some great music. Real quick, guys, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is the website. Please check that out. There's some great merchandise there as well. And don't forget, there's new podcasts coming up all the time, new interviews. You don't want to miss our music podcast, Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Facebook. Me and Lily V6 of Rock Rage Radio mix it up. We have a good time. We pick cool topics, and we play some kick-ass music. And you can find that all at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. A big thanks to Jefferson Angel for being here today. It was a lot of fun. And, guys, just remember, no matter where you are, no matter what music you're listening to, you, my friend, are the revolution. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll talk to you soon.